Dr. John Mayer, he's written this book called Immortal, The First Tango, and it incorporates some details on how vampirism can become a reality. So we're really excited here on Breakthrough Entertainment's Halloween Hullabaloo Vampire Show to speak with Dr. John Mayer. How are you?
Very good. How are you? And happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
we're great. Thank you.
I'm immortal now.
Yes, he's immortal.
Well, if you read my book, you can get some tips on how to be immortal.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And so, first of all, tell us, you know, what this book is going to tell us. I know it's a fictional, it's a novel, but you incorporate some real life stuff in there, right?
Absolutely. Well, Joseph J., your film critic, I think, really had a nice setup where he talked about this new film being a different take on the vampire legend. And, you know, in creating this story, I just, especially as my day job as a doctor, you know, we're learning every day new things about blood and genetic research. And it just kind of dawned on me that with some little tweaks in our genes and our blood chemistry, you know, we can regenerate and we can live and live and live. If I can give you just, you know, not to get too scientific for the audience, but, for example, in this late April, there was a journal article talking about this very thing where they're injecting an experimental drug into mice and finding that they live four times longer. So this possibility is right at our doorstep, and I just incorporated the science that we're learning every day into how can this possibly happen. So it's as Joe was talking about on the film, it's a different take on the vampire legend.
Right, right.
Okay, very cool. So this, what they're looking at, I'm a nurse, and so I'm very interested in this kind of stuff. So what they're looking at then is a way to, like, extend the life of the blood cell or to keep it from dying or what?
Well, here's what happens, and you'll appreciate this, is that when our cells or tissues age, you know, they lose their ability to regenerate and to secrete certain proteins. Well, one of the proteins that is typical that you lose the ability of is called PAI1. I won't go into the scientific name. And, you know, we found that if we can inhibit that, you know, we can kind of boost that up, well, your body will keep regenerating. Now, think, everyone, just let's talk in layman's terms. Just think of your body. You know, your skin, as everybody knows, regenerates itself almost, you know, every 24 to 48 hours. So why can't, you know, how does that happen? And why can't we turn on other mechanisms in which to do that same possible regeneration of other parts of your body? It's just little tweaks in your genetics, and it's transmitted through the blood. Voila, we have the vampire possibility.
Right.
If we can, you know, transfer blood from person to person.
Right, yeah, okay, that's great, you know, because in the movie, in Dracula Untold, what Vlad the Impaler decides to do is, you know, he knows that he cannot take on this army himself, so he goes up to the dark area with the creature, with the vampire, and the vampire gives him a taste of immortality, so when he becomes injured, when he's bleeding, whatever, it will just regenerate, so that is, you know, so then he basically would be immortal.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have that in my book as well, as I talk about the underpinnings of the main character being immortal. You know, when he first discovers that he is infected with this virus, he gets infected with this virus 300 years ago. He injures himself, and within the next day, the wound is healed, and he's actually stronger. That's the other aspect that I write about, everyone, is that not only do we regenerate, but we get our new cells and our new tissues are stronger and our new brain cells are smarter. So you really can think of the possibility that the new person, so to speak, is going to be stronger. Therefore, you know, the traditional vampire is strong and can throw people against the wall and smarter, you know, because the new cells are, of course, stronger and they're better than the old cells. And again, think of the medical science. What happens when you break your leg and it heals? Everybody knows that spot is probably not going to break again because the calcification over that and the strength in that is just, it's a stronger bone. So this really is intriguing how this all can become a possibility.
Let me ask you this. So, you know, people get stronger, smarter, like you said. But if people lived four times as long or even forever, how do you think this would affect their behaviors? Would it change their personality, their behaviors, how they viewed life?
Yeah, if we were on TV, you could see a big smile on my face because one of my taglines for my book is that if you lived 300 years, what would you have experienced and how would you be? Where would you have traveled? How would you have affected history? So I think what the possibility you're talking about is that with this, you know, fanciful possibility that vampires can really exist, well, just think about it. You'd be smarter. You'd probably, you know, think of that movie, what was it, Groundhog Day? How Bill Murray the next day, you know, kind of said, okay, that didn't work. I'm going to try it this way the next day. Well, I think to answer your question, you know, we'd be, you know, much more capable human beings. And that's some of the other research coming out. In fact, here's another reference for you. I just happened to, well after writing this book, read Dan Brown's Inferno. Mm. And if you read his book, he talks about how experimentation in genetics can make us, the whole quest for our genetic research is to make us stronger, more capable, and, of course, live longer.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, not to be cynical, but if someone was inherently sort of evil, that would make them stronger and smarter. And would that be a problem? As well as the population exploding, where would everyone live? It would be pretty crowded, I think.
Exactly. And not to give away...
was that part of the book?
not to give away the plot of Dan Brown's Inferno, but that's the whole plot of his book, is that because of genetic alterations, an individual wants to control population growth. A great read, of course. But yeah, you're exactly right. The possibilities are just absolutely fascinating, and that's what prompted me to write this book. And you know that what if an individual would use that for good or bad or, you know, evil? My character uses it for good, and it's also a romance behind the book where he discovers that his love of his life from so many centuries ago possibly is still alive. So we have not only a suspense in my book, but also a very strong love story. And the other thing I have to reference is that I was chuckling listening to Joe talk about the movies and talk about Twilight. I call my book a vampire book for adults.
Not for 14-year-olds?
Not for 14-year-olds.
So Dave, no.
Yeah. I have one other question. Since they're living longer, and you said your book was, of course, it's called Immortal, the First Tango, a romance as well story in your novel. You know, I think 75 years of marriage is diamond, I believe. What would be like 200 years of marriage?
I don't know.
Titanium?
I don't know. My next book will have to create a name for such a thing, right?
I can get credit for that. Okay.
Well, you know, it certainly sounds like a great jumping off point for your book, for Immortal, the First Tango. But I wanted to touch on, before we let you go, two other quick things. I mentioned in our first segment a little bit about these other diseases that people are referring to in terms of vampirism. One is, I think, is it Redfield syndrome or something like that, where people think that they're a vampire. And then there's the other one where people, they're sensitive to light. And so,
yeah.
You know, talk a little bit about that.
Well, I use that. Porphyria is the second one you're talking about,
okay,
where there's characteristics of the disease which really mimic some of the behaviors that the vampire legend has taken. And I use that as the, again, fiction launching pad for the name of the disease my main character has. And it's a real disease. And what the most important element of that disease is that people are what we call photosensitive, that they their skin reacts to light and to be out in the, particularly in sunlight and the UV rays, etc. So, you know, it's scarily possible that, you know, that one characteristic of the vampire legend is true. The other also scary aspect of that disease, porphyria, is that there's something about the ingestion of blood which makes people feel better while they have that disease. Isn't that interesting?
Definitely.
And it was one of the, again, one of the things as a doctor, I'm putting all this together going, And, you know, like everybody else, I was always, you know, taken by vampire movies and the vampire legend. You know, it's a very strong, just sociological pull.
Well, we wanted to wrap up by asking you, where can our listeners find Immortal the First Tango?
Well, the easiest thing to say is it's on my new author website, which is jemayerbooks.com. And just go there. I'm also proud of the website. It's a fun website.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. jemayer.com. You know, so Dr.
J.E. Mayer Books.
I'm sorry.
Books,
I'm sorry.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. So, you know, thank you so much for joining us, shedding some light on real life vampirism, you know. And
he just said you don't shed light on real life vampirism.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Shedding some darkness on it.
Yes.
Right?
Good point. Yes. Good
right.
point.
But, hey, I'm on your website. Is that you walking out on the website?
Well, I'll let all your listeners guess. Maybe we'll come back and have a contest to guess if that is me or not.
I think that'd be cool. That's sort of a cool website. You're right. And you have another book, In Anger at Birth. Did that come out? Yeah, I think that came out too.
No, it's coming out in about a month, and it's Have Me Back, because that's more in my wheelhouse of what I do as a doctor, and it's about a teenage serial killer.
Ooh. Oh, my.
Oh.
It's really a story of how we fail these kids, and, you know, these kids are these school shootings, and kids are always, you know, going wild, and this really chronicles what this is about in a fictional tale. It's a composition of kids that I've treated, and it's a great story. I'd love to come back and talk to you.
Oh, definitely. We'll definitely have you back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Well, and
if you're in Phoenix, you could come right in studio. Where are you, in L.A.?
I'm in Chicago.
Chicago.
So an easy plane trip, everyone.
Yes, yes. Very easy. United flies nonstop, and you can come when it's cold and bitter. And
all the food. The great food there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have some really good food. And tomorrow's our big Chicago Marathon, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So well, 45,000 runners.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, the Rob Zombie Haunted House is here in Phoenix. We checked it out. Our show next week is all about it. But there's also a Rob Zombie Haunted House over there in Chicago. So
we're excited about it. Exactly. So I heard about that.
Check it out. Yeah, excellent. Well,
we went last night. Joseph never came back. Oh, no,
I'm here.
He
came
back.
Yeah, I thought I heard him. Is that his ghost?
I came back different.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. John Mayer, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us talk a little bit about vampires.
Glad to help. And again, have me back, and we'll talk about some pretty heinous teenagers.
Ooh, absolutely.
Okay.
And happy Halloween.
Yes.
You too.
Thank
Bye
you.
Now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.